Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
There's some big stuff coming out in the case against Brian Koberger. In fact, if you're watching this today, as we are dropping it, it's going to be this evening. There's some big things coming up against Brian Koberger, at least Friday night. Again, Friday the 9th of May 2025 is when it's going to drop, and there's a lot in it. I heard about it yesterday. I got a text from the producer, and I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And I just saw the preview, and you're about to see the preview, and oh my gosh, Robin, this is... there's some stuff in here. There's some stuff in here that we have not seen from new footage, high definition footage of the vehicle that's not grainy and really questionable. There's allegedly some text messages. There's search history. There's images on the phone. There's stuff no one has seen before. Things that we've been going, it'll come out in court. Well, as things do here in the United States, they come out on Dateline first. And here is a little preview of what you're going to be seeing, and we'll discuss some of this on the other side. This is Dateline, going to be airing on Friday the 9th, 2025. Keith Morrison reporting. Let's take a look.
In this house, just steps from campus, in the early morning hours of November 13th, 2022, four University of Idaho students, Maddie Mogan, Kaylee Gonsalves, Zanna Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin, were stabbed to death. Their accused killer, Brian Koberger, faces trial this summer. He's pleaded not guilty. For the last 2.5 years, Dateline has been on the ground, reporting, gathering, and learning from people with direct knowledge of the case. We've obtained things that have never before been seen publicly. Like? Like these security videos from a camera on a house near the murder scene. Videos that show a white sedan, a car that investigators believe was driven by Brian Kohberger, making repeated passes of the King Road house that night before the murders. With evidence like this and our reporting, we have assembled a timeline for the weeks, months, and days before and after the murders. Starting with a pool party Kohberger attended in July, just after he moved to the area in pursuit of his PhD in criminology. An exclusive interview with a woman who exchanged numbers with Kohberger, then did not return his text.
You know, the universe intervened and for whatever reason just distracted me from further engaging in that interaction.
We'll also reveal records from Kohberger's cell phone that are in the possession of law enforcement and Google searches regarding the serial killer Ted Bundy. We have also seen these. Dozens of photos in Kohberger's cell phone. Browsing history. Women from Washington State and the University of Idaho, including close friends of the King Road victims. Dateline has also obtained records showing the details of what an FBI cell phone expert has claimed to be in the month before the murders, 23 occasions when Kohberger's phone connected to a cell tower, providing coverage to within 100 meters of the house at 1122 King Road. And in the hours after the murders, details of the timing of phone calls Brian Kohberger made to a phone linked to his parents just before the controversial selfie he took. And we'll talk to the mother whose daughter was supposed to be staying in the house the night of the murders, but a change of plans may have saved her daughter's life.
How soon was it that you thought, my God, she was going to be there?
I didn't think about that right away. Huh. All I could think about was the kids.
Makes you sad too, doesn't it?
It does. Sorry.
So many damaged families. Angela DeVejas told us that her daughter, Ashlyn, Maddie Mogan's best friend, moved away from Idaho and now refuses to come home to visit because of the trauma associated with the murders. She's hoping some of that may change and Ashlyn will start to grieve after Brian Kohberger's trial.
Keith Morrison, Dateline on Friday. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Reactions to that?
Yeah, well, from the get-go on this, Tony, we said prosecution must have an awful lot that we're not aware of because they've been so, I wouldn't say passive, they've seemed very confident every time defense would bring a new motion up or challenge a new thing, and they're kind of like, whatever. And our hypothesis all along has been they've got more. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's going to be really revealing, and I can't wait to see the content of those texts because I think he is, again, he was studying and working for a PhD, but he's only executed at a high school level, thankfully, because I think the trail he left is going to be very obvious.
There's some interesting stuff in those texts. Here's an excerpt of one of them. This is with the girl that I believe he met at the pool party. And we're going to see far more in depth of the text, but they're worded very weird. At least weird to, I think, I don't know, what we consider just a healthy brain or a healthy communicating individual. One of them, they're talking about going for a hike. And there's a first part to this that's longer. I don't have it directly in front of me, but I read that yesterday and it's weird.
I think some of these were mentioned also in Howard Bloom's book too. Because yes. You know, as soon as you mentioned the pool party, is like, you know, I'm seeing some good overlaps here. So really good investigative work on everyone's part.
When Kohberger was trying to follow up about going to this party or about going to go hiking, it's not like, hey, yeah, that'd be fun. I really enjoyed that activity, so please let me know. I really enjoy that activity when talking. It's a very formal way of speaking. I mean, it's mechanical. As I guess the way, and I know that's just a short piece. You're going to have to see the rest of them. If I had it in front of me, I'd read it, but, it's very mechanical way of thinking. It's like someone who doesn't know how to communicate. So they're just observing other people. And this is how they're going to try and do it. It's like a knockoff. It's like a knockoff of normal human being behavior.
And Tony, you are describing psychopathic behavior. Yeah. I mean, he's Pinocchio trying to be a real boy and he doesn't quite have the skill set to do it.
Yeah.
That's why he's studying human beings. He's studying the horrible side of human beings in his course of study, but he's literally in a life study of human beings and how they act and want to interact with others.
Yeah. I mean, it's very much, I mean, it's like a cheap Chinese knockoff of a regular product.
Mm-hmm. It's like, and that's also why, yeah, you know, it's interesting as they get more, I'm not saying they,
yeah,
I've seen cases where there are purely, and this is from clinicals, you know, psychological evaluations that my friends and colleagues have done on psychopaths, and I've seen the work they've done. They are complete chameleons. Mm-hmm. They're very, very good. There's this one case where we had a psychopath, I think I mentioned before, you know, a while ago, where this individual was just going for, on you, the rush of taking advantage of other people because that's his only reward he was ever getting. Mm-hmm. And so he would take on this persona. He took on the persona of a fundraiser for a political party. And he's got pictures hobnobbing with this high level people, like people that ran for president. And he's driving Porsches and Ferraris. And you go to his apartment, there's nothing there because he took on that persona. It was so believable. Then he took on a persona trying to build people out of churches. He became a pastor and he was this great pastor, came across very empathetic. And so he molded himself to the environment needed. It's kind of like why when we talk about Lori Daybell Vallow, I said she's doing very well in prison, most likely from my perspective, because she's manipulating as a psychopath the entire environment around her.
Who was that guy that you were talking about?
I wish I could remember the name of him. He's a former CIA case officer that went rogue. And he actually was about to get fired from the CIA for the funniest thing ever, the lowest level thing, voucher fraud.
No kidding.
For like only a couple $100s. But he was a deep undercover for them. It's called a non-official cover guy. And he was getting fired for that. And once he got fired for that, he went off grid. And he went off grid, but he's also a lawyer, highly trained lawyer. And he took that lawyer skill and he built people out of money over here. Uh-huh. Actually, in Arizona, I think, is like this quadriplegic couple. And he built them out of hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal fees and then ran. And he left his Ferrari at the runway and got on a plane and left. And then he took on another persona in another state. And so this is the guy I mentioned before that he actually put $1 million in cash in a suitcase by the front door of this dive bar where he's drinking Jägermeisters and beers all day long. And you're just waiting to see if someone would pick up that $1 million of cash and walk out the door with it.
I think I've seen something on this story. I think it's been reported right before
I'm not sure. It's a while ago.
Yeah. I remember seeing something on it somewhere. I'm like, oh my God, that was quite, let me ask you, in that world, I know we're kind of going off topic of Koberger here, but when we're talking about psychopaths or this behavior like this in the world that you were in with counterintelligence and behaviors, mm-hmm. when you're dealing with individuals who are needing to be pretty much chameleons, to kind of work both sides and be a spy and kind of trade information that way. Do you see, I mean, is that a common trait in a lot of people where they almost kind of have to be somewhere down that dark triad to really function and to be able to flip both ways and one day be this person and one day be that person and be able to pull it off really well?
It's a really great question. And I've seen it go both ways. Yeah. I've seen some organizations and agencies, both domestically and abroad, hire their intelligence collectors and their overseas intelligence collectors like the CIA does. That's why they have some CIA officers that go bad. They're the deep cover operatives because mm-hmm. they have to have a higher lack of empathy, higher on psychopathy, so they can manipulate the living hell out of people mm-hmm. and not feel bad for it, not be remorseful for it. But at the same time, they have to have enough of a moral and ethical grounding to keep them from going rogue.
Yeah.
And at the same time, then you have people like me, I was on the flip side of this, where I'm trying to recruit people like this.
Yeah.
So my skill set is completely backwards opposite from that. I have deep, deep active empathy because I'm here to solve massive critical life challenges and problems in your life. And I need to see life from your context. I need to mitigate all the risks to safety, security, and prosperity you perceive from your optic and perspective.
Uh-huh.
That cannot be done by a psychopath.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So collectors tend to edge, again, if you're going to take a paintbrush, mm-hmm. I have great friends that are former case officers for the agency with the utmost empathy I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I've also seen collectors that are at the high end of psychopathy or higher end edging towards it. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the recruiters of them tend to be more empathetic. So again, paintbrush overview from my perspective.
It's almost like opposites attract in a way where like you need both to make that work. Yeah.
And they can collaborate very well, especially when they're both self-aware enough to know, hey, here's a skill set I'm missing, and here's how you can augment that skill set. And then likewise, you know, for a case officer or an operative that is on that higher edge of psychopathy, but they're very aware of it, they're going to allow themselves to be grounded by you. It's let's call it a marriage. That's what we do. You know, we kind of complement each other, and that's why it takes teams of people. It's very rarely is anyone ever successful singularly. You do need good, healthy relationships to solve life's most wickedly complex problems. But in this case, it's like Koberger, when you're edging high on psychopathy and you don't have a loving critic that you're partnered with, you're going to miss steps. I mean, imagine, so that's what his dad was attempting to do. You know, just throwing some conjecture in here. His dad seemed very vested in the success of his son. His dad seems deeply empathetic. You know, people that take the actions that they take as a parent, that's an empathetic thing. And so had Koberger allowed his dad, you know, assuming that, you know, we'll take the assumption here that, you know, maybe he did this. He's not proven, you know, until proven guilty in court of law, obviously. But, you know, had he allowed someone like his dad more into his life to balance that out, maybe also the professor could have been someone that was, you know, doing the same sort of thing, you know, that he had a relationship with, you know, someone to balance out that lack of empathy that he had.
Do you think Koberger had he had that stronger, that piece of empathy, that basically that boundary, that bumper, that had he heeded it the way that he is seemingly, and obviously we're not psychologists, but seemingly high in that area of possible psychopathy or somewhere along that dark triad, if he's the killer, had that been in place better, or had there been maybe somebody other than his dad or somebody that he respected enough to take that boundary and go, okay, I wonder how good of an agent he would have been if he got into law enforcement and was investigating these sort of crimes, because he can relate, it seems, and can think that way. But the thing is, he thought all that way. If this is in fact him, he went all the way through it and became that person. But if he could just walk up to it and see it from that perspective and then use it for good, I could see that he could have been really good at this, but he just couldn't stop his urge of becoming the criminal, it seems.
So that's a really fascinating conjecture to think about. So based on what the observations I'm having of him is, he would not have been very good as like a CIA case officer overseas, because they have to recruit their own sources. So the types of operatives that go overseas to gather intelligence through other human individuals, like cooperations by recruiting, you know, deep rooted sources and everything, requires also a deep level of empathy. The case officers that did those work, especially in denied areas like Russia, China, in the Middle East, you know, recruiting, you know, people that are terrorists and flipping them to our side, and get, you know, that requires deep levels of empathy. Now, what he could potentially be good at is be the pointy edge of the spear, like the person they did recruit. That could actually be the person that could do nefarious things to someone to gather information and put up these strategies to stay alive potentially. Again, the problem with someone that is that is so high in psychopathy like that, though, like you're seeing here, he stands out. It doesn't seem like he has that ability to really blend into the environment around him. So I think he's edging up that high in some way, or there's other things, other issues at play, whether it's like the diagnosis for autism. I don't know. But he's not a very functional, he's not a good predator, obviously, because he really stood out in all his behaviors. And so those are elements that also play into these things.
Some of the stuff that it looks like they're going to be revealing on Dateline, a lot of things that we have been talking about, a lot of things we've been suspecting. Those texts are going to be interesting. I think it's going to just show more awkwardness that we've seen. But what I'm really curious about is the images that are on his phone. And we've been talking for a while. What are we going to find here? Are we going to find pictures of the girls? Are we going to find pictures of people in that house? Are we going to find pictures of people related to that house? According to the preview we just saw, there's pictures in there of people that are at least in the circle of friends of the individuals that were murdered on that King Road house. And Koberger didn't seem to have friends. So, I mean, it's weird that you have pictures of people in your phone that you're not friends with. That seems odd. So I'm curious about these pictures. I'm wondering, are these pictures he took, like at a party, just kind of awkwardly, like walking, smile, he just keeps walking around? Or are these pictures that he took from other people's social media and then saved on his phone and then was kind of looking at those and ruminating on those? What do you think we're going to see there? What
I think
does it tell us?
You were going to see exactly what you just said. And yeah. So you got to, again, you put yourself, as we use with our deep active empathy in this. All right. So here I am, I'm this individual. And what is he? He is a researcher, is one of the things he is. He collects data for analysis. So a lot of times I'd imagine he's going to have a lot of social pictures in here. He's going to have a lot of things from events he may or may not have attended, whether it's through someone else's cell phone or his own. For what purpose? Study. He needs to understand and look at what does people's behavior in these situations look like. He's learning how to try to blend in. And so because he doesn't feel the same emotions of these people around him, so he's trying to study what these emotions are. And so when you're thinking about it, so why would he be so attracted to serial killers? Well, because they didn't have emotions like him. So remember, likes attract. And so if you're trying to blend into a group at a pool party that he attended, and you just don't feel like you can fit in because you don't have that same emotion of joy, of enjoyment, of celebration, of levity, of smiling with everyone around you, you feel out of place. And so where is he going to feel more in place? Well, and more in place with psychopaths and killers, because they don't have that. So there's kind of a natural law of attraction going on here. But I think it's part of his study of he's going to be very clinical about how he selected the place. I think the people he chose were part of the place he chose. If I, again, we'll see when the trial comes out, but I think regardless if it's him or not, I believe this house was chosen because of its atmosphere of fluidity of people in and out, that he could, it's easier to feel safe to do what he was going to do in this place rather than anywhere else he studied that he could do it.
And unfortunately,
it was these four young lives that were lost because of it. I do not, because they haven't tied it yet, and we'll see during the trial. I don't think there's going to be a massive tie to the people as much as it's going to be to the place, because he stalked out the place, not the people, potentially. So we'll see.
And the idea. I think he stalked out the idea as well, not just the place. Yes. The concept of this, whoever... He was using weird ways of describing himself, like blobs of flesh or meat suits or something. It was something bizarre in those early writings that we saw. And in no way am I trying to be disrespectful to the victims, but it's almost as if he saw them as that. They were just lit. I mean, as dehumanizing as you could be to call someone like a meat suit. And I don't remember if that's exactly what his term was, but it's something along that line. And you said
a key word, Tony, dehumanizing. Yeah. You'd have to humanize before you could dehumanize. He hasn't humanized anyone.
Yeah. If these people are meat suits to him. Yeah.
And he sees himself as a meat suit as well. He doesn't have this great sense of self from everything we've seen from his postings earlier about himself. I think he's living in a trauma psychological world of just broken brain. And this was the result of what you got.
You want to hear some of the searches?
Yeah.
So weeks before the killings and after the killings, he was searching serial killer Ted Bundy. Pornography is mixed in there, along with the words forced, passed out, drugged, and sleeping. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's all part of his targeting, all part of his research to do what he wanted to execute.
Yeah.
You know, like what the types of victims he wants to target, the places that he's going to target. What condition, you know, to try to target people. And remember, he wants to people like this, you know, just like a wolf, you know, running down a moose. You're not going for the healthiest thing out there. You're going for what you can subdue and take advantage of the easiest and survive and get away with it. Yeah. And so, and this is not victim blaming whatsoever. No. This is location, 100% location and state of being late at night, early in the morning. That's why we've seen the car circle multiple times. They're looking for what's most optimal. This was not, in my opinion, my conjecture, this was not him getting up his courage. This was him working the safest timing for his success. And so there's a big difference, you know, and so I don't, people like this don't have to work up courage. Courage requires you to have empathy.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was him, like a wolf doesn't try to have to work up its courage to take down a deer. It has to work up the right timing to do it so it's going to be less injured.
It has to know when to do it and it has to study its prey and it has to, okay.
This that's is why the, I think, that's why people are stalked. That was a stalking that was going on of a prey. And it had nothing to do with personalization, I don't think. I don't think it had anything to do with him getting up courage. We as human beings try to establish patterns that are recognizable to us. That's why analyzing and thinking about people that are high on psychopathy is very, very challenging for us. Again, it was, I was reminded of this routinely by my psychs on my team when we're doing a case assessment, if we actually were dealing with a psychopath, because we want to keep assigning things that make sense to us onto them. And you cannot. It is pure animal predator. That is it. That's why I keep referring back to wolf. Would a wolf do this? No. Does a wolf target it doesn't like this deer, so it's going to target this deer? No, it's a lowest hanging fruit that's going to allow its highest probability of survival and get what it needs, the thrill of the hunt and taking something down. I think that's all that was going on here.
Do you think he was, because it looks like, I mean, I want to say like his going around the house felt surveilling for a while, and then it went to kind of stalking, and then it went to actually attacking. Do you think he planned this night? Do you think that it could have been any of these nights that he was lurking around and stalking or surveilling his prey, and he was just kind of waiting for the right moment to pounce? Or do you think that he somehow figured that this night at this time was going to be the night that he was going to do it? Or is it just kind of like, he's probably always had the knife in his car ready to go just for the right moment, and he didn't know when the right moment was?
Probably a little bit of everything on that one. So, you know, let's place ourselves in that mode the best we can of a broken brain ass predator, vile human being.
Yeah.
And you're going, he probably got to the point where he's ready to execute. And now he's established patterns of behavior of the house. And he probably, again, I don't know the patterns of behavior of the house. That'll probably come out in the trial.
Yeah.
But he is probably able to narrow that pattern of behavior. So he's probably, I'd guess there's a pattern of behavior during a time frame of a week from a Sunday to a Monday or Monday, you know, however you want to block it, in a 7-day time period of the most probable day of the week that they generally have a lot of people in, a lot of party, probably targeted, because wasn't this after a football game as well?
I don't know for a fact. I don't
think there was a football game that night or that day, as it was a weekend, as I remember it. And so he probably was able to narrow it down to maybe to a few potential dates based on a set of criteria that this house is always going to be in this sort of condition with the inhabitants in a certain condition that he wanted them to be in. So he probably studied this for a period of time that narrowed it down to that exact condition he's looking for. And he's waiting for that condition to match again. And he probably got pretty good at, again, he's a PhD student. You know, you're used to analyzing and looking at data and searching it and taking in more data. And that's probably what we saw during all those circlings, the lookings, I think. But if I'm conjecture wise, he's probably prepared to do it about, at least a couple of weeks ahead of time. He had everything set, everything planned, everything ready to go. Now he's just analyzing the most likely point of success for that to happen. And then he probably narrowed it down to the night in question.
It's going to be very fascinating. If you're watching it already after it airs, then go watch it. It's interesting. Dateline.
Yeah.
Episode airing on the 9th of May, 2025. It's going to be good.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a 4-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.